Greetings and God bless you. We are the generals and the boss prophets, Dr. Apostles April
and Andrew, and we are here with your weekly word of supernatural empowerment.
We decree that by the power of God, that what you are about to hear will shift you into your new season. Let's listen in closely as the word is already in progress.
Definitely worth it. It is worth it because we love you guys and we love our partners, we love our members, and we just love people. Amen and glory to God. So I encourage you all, Amen. Each and every one of you all, to spread the word about KCI Worldwide, Kingdom Centers International and Worldwide United Kingdom Organization. Glory to God, that's a long Amen. Name. Some people just say Kingdom Centers International, or some people just say KCI Worldwide. Usually I just say KCI Worldwide. But amen, spread the word about our church and about our ministry. God is doing some amazing things in this time and in this hour, as I express, amen, glory to God. If you understand anything about the glory of God, inside the glory of God, everything is accelerated. Everything is accelerated. And I tell Amen. People oftentimes, the closer we get to the return of Christ Jesus, that's the more so he unleashes his glory upon the earth. So what happens is when his glory is released upon the earth, when we begin to pray for things that we don't pray for years begin to become manifested more very quickly. It don't take long all the time, like it used to in the past, because he's coming back. We're getting closer to his return. So the closer we get, he's releasing that glory upon the earth. And when he releases that glory upon the earth, inside the glory is where the Christian believer should live. When we pray, stuff happens instantly. But there's a flip side to that. When the glory is released, if we are coming against God or not doing what we need to do, the judgment comes that much quicker as well.
Mm-hmm.
So Amen. You understand, and I often mm-hmm. tell people, right now is not the time to backslide. If you were going to backslide out of Jesus Christ, you should have did that maybe 10, 15 years ago. You wanted to have fun, glory to God. I'll just be honest with you. Sin sometimes is fun. Yeah, partying with the world, it can be fun. So that's mm-hmm. why I say if you wanted to have fun and you wanted to sin, you should have did that maybe 10, 15 years ago. But now the body of Christ is in a position and in a place where we really can't be playing with God. You shouldn't have been playing with God 10, 15 years ago, but I'm saying it's mm-hmm. more detrimental now the closer we get to the return of Jesus Christ. So people of God, right now is not the time to play with God, not the time to be backslid. When I say play with God, I'm not saying that you can't have a struggle in Christ. You can't have a struggle, some things that you deal with that you want to overcome. No, you can have struggles, but the thing is, the key is to want to overcome those struggles. See, there's
Amen.
A difference. Some people are in God, or they're in church, because you could be in church and still not be in God. Some people Amen. Are in church, but they're playing with God. And the reason I say that they're playing with God, glory to God, I wasn't trying to speak all of this. This isn't even in my notes, but this is what the Lord wanted me to say. Somebody needs to hear this. And the reason I say that they're playing with God is because they're coming to church, but they're living a double lifestyle. They're saying one thing on Sunday, but they're doing another thing on Wednesday. They're saying one thing on Sunday, but they're doing another thing on Monday. And the thing is, they're doing it purposely. It's not that they struggle with it. See, you can struggle with something and be like, Lord, I want you to heal me. I want you to deliver me. I want you to set me free. You can do that and be in good grace with God. But one thing that you cannot do is say, you know what, I'm going to put on a front and go to church and act like something that I'm not, and then when I go home, I'm going to purposely sin. See, those are two different aspects. That's what Amen. I mean when I say playing with God. I struggled smoking cigarettes, and I was coming into the house of God, but I wanted to be delivered. I wanted to be delivered. You got some people that struggle with what I call vices. The reason I call it a vice is because it got a strong grip on them and they can't seem to get let loose of that. But some people struggle with vices. They struggle with vices in their life and they don't want any deliverance. I spoke to a lady that smoked cigarettes and said she don't want to quit smoking cigarettes, but yet she considered herself a believer. That's what you call playing with God. Because once you come into the understanding, the knowledge, and the revelation of Jesus Christ, you want to be free. Smoking cigarettes ain't free. Smoking marijuana ain't being free. You want to begin to free. But when you say, I don't want to be free, but I still want to come to church, you either saying one or two things. You're saying, number one, I love this vice, this thing that gives me comfort more than Jesus, or you're saying, I don't care what the Bible says about me having liberty. I don't care about none of that. I care about God to a certain point, but I'm doing my own thing right here, right now. That is what we begin to say.
My God.
Hallelujah.
So there's a difference. So I don't want, it ain't no condemnation to those who are in Christ. If you're struggling with something on this line today in this service, you don't have to be condemned to feel bad about that. Because if your heart is to try to break free, no matter how long it takes, you've been trying and trying, God looks at those who put forth effort.
Hallelujah.
Did you hear what I said? So don't let nobody condemn you. But if you know people that's doing things on purpose and they ain't even trying to get free, then that's a different story. That's a different story altogether. That is totally something different, and that's taking God's grace for granted. So glory to God. That was my introduction. But today, I guess if I could title this, is talking about the sons of Issachar. But it's directly related to what God is doing in the body of Christ even now, and what he's doing in the church, what he's doing in KCI, the ecclesia. Anybody know what ecclesia means? Do anybody on the line know what ecclesia is and what it means? Amen. Well, I'll tell you. A lot of times you hear me say ecclesia. Ecclesia, it really is like the transliteration of church, but they say the word church came from a pagan term. I'm not going to get off into all of that, the terminology and things of that nature, but I just want you to understand why I say ecclesia sometimes. Ecclesia is what they call the church in the Bible. Ecclesia means called out ones. It means called out ones. It means that you're called out to be separate, to be different from the world. So when you hear someone, a preacher, say ecclesia, they're talking about the church. They're talking about you, because you were called out of darkness and into the marvelous light of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Glory to God. Yeah, you can encourage God. When you say amen, when you say hallelujah, that encourages him to continue to pour out upon your life. Why you think he says, all ye saints, all ye lambs, raise up, all of you all, raise your lips, open your lips, raise your hand, and praise and worship the Lord. That encourages him. So I just wanted to put that in there. So I want you to understand one thing. In the Bible, when it states men, a lot of times we see the word men in the Bible. In the Bible, when it states men, it's usually speaking of not speaking of a sex or gender from the or from the male perspective, but it's speaking of what we know as mankind. Typically, usually, a lot of times it's talking about man, of course, you know, like a man of God or something like that. But a lot of times it's talking about mankind, both sexes, male and female. And I have to put this in here today because somebody is struggling, somebody is discouraged, somebody been told because of their gender they can't work in the house of God. That's that old school ideology and that old school doctrine. That ain't even the word of God. And as I often tell people, ask the mother of Jesus, which is Mother Mary, how God used her to birth out the Savior for the world. So you can't tell me that God can't use a woman. You can't tell me that God can't use women. I cannot stand that ideology that women must sit silent in the church and not curse up a word. A lot of people, they like to use that scripture to dominate and to put women under bondage. That scripture where it says the women ought to keep silent, that don't even mean that. This is why I tell people you got to understand and you got to know what your Bible is talking about. You got to understand the hermeneutics of the word of God. What do I mean when I say hermeneutics? I'm talking about you got to understand the background. You got to understand the cultural surroundings of the scripture, because many times in the scripture text, the preacher or the person who wrote it, they wasn't necessarily speaking universal. They were speaking to a particular set of people, a particular group, or a particular church at that particular or specific time. It wasn't a universal concept. And this is understanding the hermeneutics of the Bible and understanding it exegetically. So what I'm saying is, many times, well, all the time, we can learn from the Bible in every passage, but we cannot make doctrine out of every scripture, which a lot of people do, and this is where we get a lot of crazy doctrines out here. The Bible says, the Word of God says that the Bible is used for reproof, correction, rebuke, exhortation, and so forth. But when it, see, people begin to mix that, to mash that all in together, and have an understanding, they believe that every scripture is used for everything, and that's not the case. It was broken into brackets when it said that. God was trying to give us an understanding that the Bible is used for reproof, correction, rebuke, exhortation, to teach, to build up, and so forth. But he wasn't saying that every scripture was meant for each and every one of those categories. I call them categories, what I just named. So you got to understand the hermeneutics of the Word of God. How do you understand the hermeneutics of the Word of God? First, you have to ask God for understanding and wisdom. The Bible says he gives liberally, and the Bible also says those who seek shall find, but those who seek him diligently, he is a rewarder up to them. So you have to ask him, and then you have to put forth the action and seek him for understanding of the Word of God. A lot of people mixed up, and if you stood in front of theologians and college professors, many of us ain't even went to Bible college, but if you stood and you went to one of these classes and you start trying to talk about the Word of God and you were out of context, they would look at you like you were unlearned. They would be like, actually, they would probably have pity for you if you were speaking and it was out of context, you didn't know what you were speaking about. So it's not to belittle anyone, but it is to encourage you all and to enlighten you all and put a flame under your seat to seek God more for more wisdom and more understanding. You don't have to be a college professor. You don't have to be a theologian to understand this word. The Bible says that it is without excuse. So that means even a child can understand it. But some things within the Word of God takes revelation. In order to get that revelation burst out of your spirit and then connected to the Spirit of God, you got to seek him and you got to ask him. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Amen. I know what I'm talking about. I know that I'm preaching good this morning. Glory to God. If you're receiving it, glory to God, it's going to bless you. So
amen.
You got to understand the hermeneutics of the Bible, people of God. You got to understand these things. You got to understand you won't look foolish amongst your peers or you won't mislead anyone, because that scripture where it says let the women keep silent, a lot of people don't understand the background of that. Paul was speaking to the church when he said that. But when Paul was speaking at that particular time to that particular church, what would go on, what would take place is the women, which were on one side of the room, and the men were on the other side of the room, the women would stand up and they would interrupt Paul's teaching to ask their husbands, what was he talking about? Did you understand? Did you even know that? At that particular time, the women sit on one side, the men sit on the other side. And the women would be confused to what Paul was saying, and the women would say to their husband, they would shout across the room and say, what is he talking about, husband? What is he talking? I don't understand this. And that would interrupt Paul's teaching. So Paul, he said, let the women be silent. But he was speaking to that particular church at that particular time. You got to have an understanding to the Word of God. That don't mean that women can't preach. That don't mean that women can't teach. That don't mean that women can't operate in the body of Christ. I want to kill some false doctrine on this morning.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. The truth.
God is raised, and that's why I said you got to understand your word. You got to understand your Bible. I want to encourage you. You don't have to go to Bible college to have an understanding. Did you not know that T.D. Jakes ain't went to Bible college? He's one of the greatest preachers in this world. But he never went to Bible college, but he had a longing, he had a passion, he had a desire to seek after God. Seek after God. And you seek after him through studying. You see, the Lord's been telling me, KCI, we need to come up in our study. Yeah, we worship. Thank God for the worship. Don't die down on the worship. But we got to come up in our study. And while you're studying, you got to ask God for understanding. So I want you to understand that God is raising up women in this end time to lead and to be good at it. Such leaders even expand to the secular arena. And you got to understand that God can raise up leaders in the church, but those who get raised up in the world, that's all God's doing too. Because everything that happens in existence must first come by the permission of the Father. I really want you to understand it, whether it's in the church or not. A lot of people got to understand that what goes on in the church belongs to God, but outside the church, dealing with the secular arena, God ain't got nothing to do with that. No, everything that happens is designed by God, or God allows it. He gives permission to it. So God is raising up women in the church, in the body of Christ, within the kingdom of God, the confinements of the kingdom of God, but he's also raising up women leaders in the secular arena. God is doing something. Whether we want to agree with it, whether we want to vote for it or not, it's all given by the permission of God. He's doing something in this end time. He's doing something in this hour, and he's raising up women, not saying that you're supposed to be the head. Don't get me wrong, because the Bible says that the head of the woman is the man, and the head of the man is Christ Jesus. So you're not the head, but you are a leader. And I want to kill that false doctrine on this morning, this afternoon, that women can be leaders.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
This is what God is doing.
Thank you,
God. I often tell people, if it wasn't for my wife, this ministry would be crap.
Amen.
I could not run this ministry without her. This is how God has designed it. So understand that God is raising up women. And oftentimes, I tell people that this church, this ministry, this ecclesia would not be worth what it is if it wasn't for my wife.
Amen. That's right. Amen.
It would not be. It would not be. It would not be. She has a spirit of excellence, and it's not to overshadow me, because we all got our perspective roles. I do my thing. She does her thing. She does what God particularly calls her to do, and I do what God calls me to do. But when we come together, we're a dynamite team. And
Amen.
This ministry
Amen.
Would not be effective as it would be without my wife. And I talk to so many pastors, they got their wife on the front seat of the front pew, and she got the nice clothes, and she looking pretty and things of that nature. And she might say a few words, but that's about it. No, God ain't called my wife for that. He's called my wife to do more than look pretty, to do more than sit on the pew and be the showpiece for the church. She's more than that. She's the fragrance of KCI. My wife is the backbone of KCI. God is using my wife in this end time as a pillar of this ministry along with me.
Amen.
A lot of people got that false doctrine. Somebody want to come against me on social media talking about my wife this and my wife that. And God don't use women. Number one, I could run circles around them with the biblical theology that God has placed inside of me. I could just cut them up real quick with a few scriptures, and then they'll be looking like, oh. But then they'll try to circle around that and then try to still battle me. But I don't got time for that. I don't got time to argue what God has called me to do and to revolutionize the body of Christ, to be a forerunner. I just automatically cut that mess off.
Amen.
I know what God has called me to. And God is raising up women in this end time. Women of God, I want you to repeat after me. Say, God is raising up.
God is raising up.
Me in this end time.
Me in this end time.
And it's end time.
Woman of God, I want you to understand that you are a powerhouse in God. You might not got a title right now, but you got a voice. And God's going to use that voice in the nation. God's going to use that voice to break barriers. God is going to use your voice, woman of God, to do mighty things in the earth in this end time that we live in. You have a voice for God. Don't ever let nobody silence your voice, woman of God. Don't let nobody tell you to shut up and sit down and look pretty. You say, I'm going to speak aloud what God tells me, and I'm going to still look pretty while I'm doing it. What is God, you're powerful, and I want to encourage you.
Hallelujah, God.
Hallelujah,
God. Thank you, Jesus.
You were made for more than to just lay on your back, open your legs, and get in the kitchen and cook a good meal. You were made for more than that. God has a purpose and a destiny for your life.
That's right.
I give him glory for that.
Amen.
Thank you, God. Thank you, God.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, God.
And God wants you, as well as males, to walk in what's called the Sons of Issachar anointing. The Issachar anointing. He wants us to walk in an Issachar anointing. Now, I want you to understand this about Issachar. Issachar, the sons of Issachar, they were, in the Bible, it talks about them, they were men.
We know this word has supernaturally empowered you for this week. Now is the time to place your angels on an assignment. Yes, your angels. It is time to take authority and now decree what you want to manifest for you and your family on this week. Plant your seed in supernatural fertile ground today.
And you activate this word and make it supernaturally manifest by sowing your money seeds. The more you sow, the more miracles will begin to flow into your hands. Your palms will be filled up with overflow by visiting our website at www.kci.world.
That's www.kci.world, not .org, not .com, for we are worldwide, where there is always something supernaturally happening. Again, that's www.kci.world. We are speaking life over you and your family, and we are excited about your now, your next, and your new season in Jesus' name. This has been your weekly word of supernatural empowerment from the generals.